Welcome to the Superpower Success Podcast. It's time to shift your paradigm, gain some inspiration, and get moving towards that next level of success. Are you hitting your sweet spot? Are you in that point where you're really aligned with both your purpose and your passion? This isn't the first time that we've talked about this on the podcast, but it is a refreshing take on it that we're going to talk about today. So I'm here with Dr. Robert Sikora, and he is the creator of Leading from the Helm, and I'm sure he'll give us more information on that. He's also got an amazing assessment and approach called the 8 Factors of Engagement. And so he is an HR guru, right? And a deep HR leader and researcher in this space. And we're going to be talking about kind of his background and what he's seen in working with leaders of all ages around this sweet spot, around that finding that point of purpose and passion and how you can use that to really move you forward. So thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. And he has a really good voice for radio. We were just joking. So he'll be much more enjoyable to listen to talk than probably me. So I'd love you to just start with your journey. And we don't do bios here. We just really want you to just talk about how have you gotten to this point in life? Because we realize with a lot of really smart people and leaders is it's not always a straight linear path, right? So tell us a little bit about your background.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah, I actually years ago did a lot of recreational therapy working with adolescents and adults. And so working in the therapeutic environment, really understanding what motivates folks, where they find their passion, where they find what matters to them, getting through whatever life events and circumstances got them to where they were and being able to work through that. So did a lot of group therapy type work and a lot of, like I said, recreational therapy. So sports is in the background. Decided to go on to the University of Minnesota and get my master's in human resources. Started working with big kids and in the corporate space. So spent time with Pfizer Pharmaceutical and Pillsbury here in the Twin Cities, Carlson Companies, Eaton Corporation was the head of global organization development for them for their fluid power group, which included the hydraulics group here in the Twin Cities, and then finished my corporate career with Cargill. Decided to get my doctorate in organization development through the University of St. Thomas, and the passion there for me was really looking at a concept of trust. When I was working with a lot of organizations at the time, trust came up. I think we counted one time 35 out of 37 conversations without us even bringing up the topic. Yep. And so that became the basis for the dissertation that we worked on, and that was looking at personality styles and how that impacts relationships and how you build trust within individuals and within teams and within organizations. So that's the journey that I've been on really have enjoyed the process. And it you do, as you look back, see how the threads all kind of tie together.
Yeah.
I wanted to be a naval jet pilot when I was a kid growing up, came very close to that. I did a lot of flying up in Canada and out in Hawaii. Now I just do a lot of flying with Delta, and it works out. I just hit my million mile on my last trip. So,
wow. Yeah. So you get to relax in a different way.
Exactly.
I love that. Perfect. Well, you're on the Superpower Success Podcast. So the question we always need to ask at the beginning is, what do you believe is a superpower that you know, that innate strength that has helped you get to this point?
Yeah, the feedback I've gotten over the years is that the ability to look at multiple models and bring them together, so the systems thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And, I talk about being a solutions architect, and that you hear and see in different things that are going on. They sometimes seem random or, non-connected, and somehow or another they all start to connect. And, if it's working with the Gallup Q12 through, the corporate experience and the balanced scorecard and the service profit and just these different models that kind of come together, they start to, synergize and they start to make sense in different ways. And just experiences that I have, in life and travel and experiencing different cultures. And it's like, well, wait a second, those 4 colors in Hawaii are the same 4 colors as the personality stuff. And you start to bring those together. It's just for me, that's a lot of fun. I don't know if I would call it a superpower or more as it's just an interest in what gets my attention, but being able to put that together in a meaningful way that others then can make sense out of and do something with.
Yeah.
Ultimately, it's got to have an impact in my eyes, and that seems to be the one that
I definitely helps. Think that's a superpower. And even as you talk about it, it's the systems thinking, but it's also the being present to notice those things that need to connect. And many of us that are running at 150 miles an hour don't always have that, right? We can't see the things happening around us and connect that.
Right.
So I definitely think that's a superpower. That's fantastic. So the topic we're talking about today, and it's really your words, right, around hitting your sweet spot and how you think about that. And I know you work with leaders of all sizes of companies, even down to college students and high school students. And so you see the gamut of this. And so talk a little bit about this concept, how you came, you know, to really be, to help people with this and why it's so important.
Well, again, dating back to, you know, the years of working as a rec therapist, being a coach, the concept of what motivates somebody at that moment, it was always an interesting one. What, you know, what caused a kid in high school to all of a sudden kind of get it and decide to put everything towards something? And when does that light bulb turn on, as it were? And working with high school kids, we do a lot of pro bono work with the different high schools. We were down in actually Punta Cana, Dominican Republic, here this last week, working with the teachers and the administration down there and how they're working with the students, and it was just a lot of fun. And what is that thing that triggers us? And when we're working with the students, when we're working with college students, millennials, and then ultimately, you know, with the businesses and the folks that we work with within organizations, what taps into that spirit that they have? And what we find is that a shared purpose is the number one driver of employee engagement than anything else. A shared purpose. When I can know what my purpose is and I can enter into a relationship with somebody else or an organization that has a purpose that I can align to, the impact is just so much greater. So, you know, really understanding, you know, what drives us that way. But as an individual, it's having that passion then, right? It's knowing all the different things that we have energy for, and we're able to bring that together. I would like to say, though, with purpose being the number one driver, it's only effective if there's what I consider to be the most important currency within any organization or relationship, and that is of trust. If you have trust present, then these other things are able to happen. Once you start to break trust down and that becomes, you know, the lack of that, then the sense of purpose just doesn't have the same weight. And we've proven that statistically. We were able to present at the University of Minnesota's HR Tomorrow conference a year ago, and the basis of that was looking at that research. And, you know, purpose is number one, but only if trust is there. So those battery posts need to be there. So when you bring passion into play, you know, there's a lot of things we're passionate about. There's a lot of things we can spend our time, energy, and effort. But every day, and you mentioned that mindfulness piece, every day the world offers you an opportunity to have an impact somehow. Individuals, you know, come across, you know, your life or whatever the circumstance happens to be. So if we're tapped into our passion and all of a sudden the opportunity presents itself to have an impact on somebody's life or an organization or whatever it happens to be, those data points start to add up and we start to realize that, hey, there's something here. You know, there's something here that I can make an impact on. For me, years ago, that was at the time working with kids, but working with individuals to really see, wow, there's a way to, you know, to bring that focus for them where there's a tipping point where they see that, wow, I can do something, you know, in this way. And organizations are the same way. And so when you combine the passion with the talent that you've been given or that you've developed, along with that opportunity, those things come together and it starts to happen. Now, the reality is your purpose doesn't stay consistent either, right?
Okay, that was a question as you were talking, I was going to ask you, is if we get this question a lot, and before we started the podcast, I you know, our philosophy of these plateaus, right? Growth and plateau and growth and plateau. And so I think people get, first off, people that are like trying to get to that purpose, they see it as like a finish line when it's not. It's just like the first layer, right, that you're getting to. So talk a little bit about how you see that. Maybe give us all a little bit of break that it doesn't have, it can change and it can evolve.
We have fun. We say shift happens all the time, right? And so when these shifts occur, and they're transformational sometimes. Sometimes they're incremental, but they happen.
Yep.
And you look forward to those because a lot of times those are the basis of an aha moment, you know, and it's like, whoa, okay, there's something new here. So the journey around purpose is this simple, okay? It starts with self-awareness. It's understanding self as leader or self as person and the impact that we have. So there's all sorts of different things, and there's things that we do in helping to allow folks to understand who they are at a deeper level. And when you take that and you combine it with your values, the things that you value in life and the values that you hold to be core to you, that's kind of that foundational piece. Who you surround yourself with. We talk about your crew because we have a bit of a nautical theme.
We call it the tribe.
The tribe,
but it's
the
same thing,
you know,
right?
The inner circle.
Those people.
And so we'll ask, you know, do you surround yourself with people that think exactly like you and look exactly like you, or do you diversify? Do you look for people that help to challenge? Because it's those types of folks that, if you, it goes back to the currency, if you trust them, even though they see things differently than you, you open yourself up to other possibilities. And that was where those ahas, you know, come. We said, because I'm willing to be vulnerable with you and share with you my ideas, you're the same thing, willing to challenge back in a really good way, in a healthy way that allows me to go, wow, okay. You know, it's the classic old woman, young woman image. You know, you helped me see something that I didn't see, that I thought you were maybe even a little crazy to even suggest, but now all of a sudden I'm appreciating that. So making sure that that inner circle and that and those outer circles are ones that, you know, like when you have all that happening, again, the passion piece comes into play. The talent piece, knowing your talents, knowing your skills, developing your skills is another one. So as we move on, and the brain research is telling us this as well. I mean, learn a second language or a fifth language, whatever it is, after the age of 40. You know, continue to travel, continue to experience different things, because other talents surface. I mean, all of us have gone through the transitions of leadership where you've got to let go of certain things. I can't play, you know, hockey the way I used to, and I shouldn't, because, you know, I'm not able to fly out the next day if I've, you know, blown out my knee or something like that. So I do things like yoga and other things. So we learn those things. So when you let go of certain things that you've held on to before, new
sometimes
opportunities present themselves.
Totally.
And so purpose continues to hone and shift over time through these experiences, but you got to be open to them again. You got to be looking for them. What is next, as opposed to just waiting for it to happen?
Yeah, and feeling. I love that. I want to dive into, even though we're kind of talking about purpose and passion, this idea of trust that keeps coming up. And we talk to our clients about this a lot, and there's a, what I call a corporate level trust, where I'll walk in, be working with a new leadership team, and they're like, we trust each other. Meaning we could go have a beer and there's no negative, you know, stuff happening. And trying to define that's not really, that's surface level trust, right? The analogy of like the iceberg. That's everything above the water, when the real stuff is the big piece below the water. And so how do you look at that when you talk to teams about trust and what it actually means to trust someone, like you do your family or your parents? And it's a more vulnerable trust.
So, boy, there's a real simple answer, and then there's the complex. I'm going to try to go with simple. So when I say we, I'm a collaborator. So even though, you know, I worked on my dissertation, no, it was a we effort. There's just so many people involved with that, and I'm appreciative of everything that they provide. I had the privilege of flying over to Singapore and visiting and meeting with all the top trust researchers on trust. So they meet in different places of the world every year, and that happened to be in Singapore that year. And that's when I asked the question, what is the core the definition of trust in that sense? And if you look at the core root of the word, it comes out of comfort, and being comfortable with somebody, well, that's pretty safe. And safety is another form of trust. But they said to really go to the extreme versions of it, you need to find definitions of vulnerability where folks are truly willing to be vulnerable. So that piece is there. But there's another definition of trust that's been around, obviously, for a long time, and that is one of espoused values versus values in action. Meaning, is what I say consistent with what I do? So the consistency definition of trust is so important. And this is where it gets into systems thinking again and gets into the organizational side. The point is this. You may be consistent with what you say and with what you do. I may be very consistent with what I say and what I do, but we're both leaders as part of an organization. My consistency of self is different than your consistency within yourself. And now you start to add 18 senior leaders. Are we all behaving and saying and thinking and doing exactly the same? Not that we want to be that homogeneous, but the point is if we go into a meeting and we have this healthy debate, we discuss, and we come out, and you know, it's a little contentious and whatnot, but we come out, if we're not behaving like 18 and 0,
yeah.
if we're behaving like, you know, 9 and, you know, or, you know, whatever, 10 yeah. and 8 or whatever the number is, you're going to start to show inconsistencies to the rest of the organization. Mm-hmm. So what we were able to do a few years ago was take a look at what are some of the polarities that we look at when we look at trust, meaning are we consistent or inconsistent on these? There's not a right or wrong with any of these. Polarity is where it's both.
Yep.
But the question is where are we on these? You know, as an organization, do we take more of an internal versus external focus? Are we more relationship based on our decision making? Are we task based? You know, mm-hmm. You know, would we take facts or we take intuition? You know, all these you have both, and it's not one or the other.
Yep.
Are we a high risk organization or a low risk? Do we use consensus for decision making or individual approach?
Okay.
You know, all these are different factors. The big one usually is the what versus the how cultures. Is it about what gets done, or is it how we go about doing it?
Yep.
And so there's all these different pieces, and as leaders, you get to look at, wow, you know, we're either aligned on these different dimensions of trust and building that culture, that purposeful culture of trust, or way off, and we're sending mixed messages to our organization.
Yes.
We're giving them an unstable, you know, ground to stand on.
Yep.
And so as the leadership team and leaders within organization get more aligned around these, there's a personal side of it. This is how I like to have things. And then there's an organizational side. So there's even a shift that has to occur within the individual to say, you know, I kind of like it this way, but the organization is here, you know, and maybe a little, you know, there's a gap between where I'm at and the organization's at. So as a leader, I need to be able to put forth, you know, the right effort to show and demonstrate.
And I think that's so refreshing. And, you know, I know some of the images and how you explain this is the spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we live in a world today that's so polarized.
Mm-hmm.
That to think of it as a spectrum, meaning I'm not, I am or I am not,
right.
I'm part of it. I'm just at a different place on the spectrum
yep.
versus you are that, I am this.
The box thing doesn't work. It's
yeah.
not an introvert or an extrovert.
You're
both.
On a spectrum
You're both.
Of that.
The question is what's your preference and where do you tend to play more and where do you have to, you know, stretch in different times to make things
Correct.
Work.
And
the same is true of the
I think it tells people that you can move along the spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to naturally land somewhere.
Yeah.
But helping them realize that is, I think, good awareness too. So I want to jump back to the purpose piece because we get this question a lot from people is, I have my purpose
mm-hmm.
and then my company mm-hmm. has a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
What if those aren't aligned?
Yep.
Right? And what do I do? So the people that are listening, I guarantee we have people listening that feel that is, should I be okay with that? And is it okay to have my own purpose and not have it be aligned to the company purpose? Or should I be thinking differently
yeah.
about it?
Yeah. No, it's a great question. When I work with organizations, one of the things I mentioned is I ask them, that's the first question I ask
mm-hmm.
is, what is your shared purpose? And I see what kind of mm-hmm. definitions. And sometimes folks say it's to make money. Sometimes
yep.
it's to have an impact in the community. Sometimes
yep.
it's to do really cool things and to make the cool things. You know, and I remember, you know, working with Marilyn Carlson Nelson at Carlson Companies, and it was, you know, to make a great place for great people to do great work. And so there was a huge people side. You know,
yep.
she shifted that paradigm from, you know, the work, you know, the company that her father had, you know, internal competitive and whatnot, and
yep.
very successful, and just but really wanted to bring out the people side and have that come mm-hmm. forward as well. So it's a great question. I mean, if you get interviewed by Medtronic, one of the first things they do is they pull out the coin, you know, and they read
yeah.
what's on that. And say, if you're not here for this purpose, if you're
it's
here to, you know, make money,
fit.
It's not as good fit.
Mm-hmm.
And so we bring that up with every organization we work with to say, when
yep.
you're interviewing, you got to make sure that that's the first piece. That's the reason why the person is there.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, do I come into organizations where individuals have a different purpose than what the organization is? You know, they're there for the money or they're there for
yeah.
the experience or whatnot. I remember being in New York working for Pfizer, and one of the gals that was in my master's program with me happened to take a job with one of the tobacco companies that was out in New York. And I asked her, I said, what is it like? And I said, I knew she was a health nut and everything else. And
yeah.
she goes, no, I'm just here for 2 years to get my experience and be able to shift on. And I thought to myself, how does that impact the level of engagement? I mean,
totally.
I was asking myself
yes.
that how many ever years ago that was. You know, for the organization, are they getting the most out of that person as a result of
yeah.
that? Well, the data is already proving that. Is if you're aligned to the purpose side, now
yes.
you've got it. If you're not, it's sub-optimized. It's at a
you can still
level.
Get results,
Absolutely.
And that's the that right. These
sure.
organizations can still get results. What you're saying is they could be getting more,
a lot more, yeah.
If
yeah.
they were actually aligned to that. So what if? And we work with, you know, small mid-market
mm-hmm.
businesses too, right?
Yep.
Where they're a manufacturing company. I know you do as well,
mm-hmm.
right? Smaller banks. Or
yep.
what if they don't have a purpose? What if you're interviewing, right, or you're talking to them and they don't have that? And how often do you see that? And what guidance would you give business leaders in those types of organizations?
Well, yeah, they tend to have something, but it doesn't always be, it isn't sticky.
Correct.
Or it isn't something that's in the hearts and the minds and
that's
the hands of
is.
People that they're working for. So when we go through the diagnostic of the organization, we're looking at leading from the helm as that. Mm-hmm. If they're solid on the strategy or the purpose, then we continue to move on. If they don't have that piece and there's other issues, it's gonna come back. I had one organization down in South Carolina, I was working with them, and the leadership team came together and we were going through another activity, but all of a sudden we realized diagnostically that they had nothing. They were just a distribution channel for a particular European manufacturing organization. And they all just sat back and they said, can we just take this time just to define our purpose? Because they literally felt lost in the water at that point.
With their strategy,
exactly.
Because it wasn't grounded in something.
So for the next 90 minutes, that's what we did.
Wow.
And they all walked away going, this is, you know, amazing.
Yes.
And then that's what became the cornerstone for everything else that was working. It's not that difficult to do. And and things shift and you hone it and you get into all the wordsmithing, but at the end of the day, mm-hmm. what's the basis of it? To go back to that other question around if there's the individual, when we're running through programs, sometimes the individual realizes, you know what, I'm not connected. And that's where we talk about, you know, helping folks find the right fit. We say move up within or move out. And one of the most generous, caring things that I've ever been a part of is helping individuals transition out of organizations. I've worked for a lot of them.
Yep.
I've never once been sued because of an employment situation. I receive thank you notes because people are like,
it helped
them get to where they needed to go. And a lot of times, you know, folks are afraid to leave the paycheck, or organizations are afraid to let go of somebody that has talent. But at the same time, you know, if they're able to shift and transition and be able to transfer knowledge to somebody else that can step in that has passion and shares the purpose for what you're doing,
it's a whole lot better for everyone.
Absolutely.
So this makes me think of another question that we get a lot and we talk about is the generational changes.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we look at this as when you look at the millennials and the Gen Zs and as we look at the generations changing, is purpose truly becoming more important because of those generations, or is there another shift that's, because you're hearing about it a lot more, right? It's the work people like you and I do maybe as part of it, but you're hearing people ask these questions in interviews that 10 years ago, 15 years ago, nobody was asking.
Right.
And why is that in your opinion?
Well, I think it's, it continues to be the self-actualization. I think if you look at just the way parenting and communities are based, we're raising the kids a little different, right?
Yeah.
I mean, just the way it is. I mean, when I got home, I ran out and I was gone until 9 o'clock, and it just wasn't the same thing. You know, now it's a little different in a good way.
Mm-hmm.
And so to answer your question, yes, the data and the focus groups and everything else, the purpose piece is so important to them because they want to be a part of something that is greater than themselves. But here's the other kicker for them. I want to be careful how I say this, but it came up so many different times at the focus groups. They said, we need to have that piece that we share from a purpose standpoint, but we also have to give a shit about each other. And it came up multiple times. They used that word, so that's why I'm repeating it. But when we equated what they were saying to the factors of engagement, it came down to care. So if we don't care about each other as we're working together around that shared purpose, it loses that foundation. Now, if we care about each other and we're having these great keggers on Fridays or we're having wine or whatever it is that we're doing, we're having a lot of fun, but we're not accomplishing anything, that's empty too. When you combine those two things together, it enters into another beautiful body of research that's been going on all the way down to the school level again, and that's a sense of belonging. If we have a shared purpose and we care about each other, you create the sense of belonging. And that's where, like I said, within the high schools and whatnot, there's some wonderful research going on whether or not kids feel that sense of belonging. They're cared for, and we're all there to, you know, receive a really good education and help each other educate one another to go beyond. Well, it comes through working with the millennials as well. Focus group after focus group, those were the two factors of the 8 factors that they were grabbing onto more than anything else. Trust obviously is important.
A
We've
big
talked
piece
about
of it.
That, but that care piece for them was huge.
Oh, it's so interesting that you bring that up because we've got a client in California that in the past that we've kind of gone deep with them in this, and they had such a strong purpose, meaning for the community and the work they were doing, but their engagement scores were tanked.
Yeah.
And what was keeping people there was the purpose,
uh-huh.
was the work they were doing in the community. They were a health organization.
Mm-hmm.
And but everyone inside of the organization didn't care. I mean, they were infighting and, you know, they weren't caring for each other.
Right.
And it's just that amazing thing of just like, how can you have such a strong purpose that everyone is so grounded in and be so dysfunctional?
Obviously I wasn't part of the diagnostics of that.
Yeah.
I have been a part of a lot of care providing organizations that I've worked for. This gets into the personality style of the research that I talked about earlier as well. You tend to find people that come from a deep care perspective also tend to come from what we call introversion and feeling. In the four color energy space, we call that green energy. A lot of community, county government type folks come into that, teachers and things of that nature.
Yep.
So you know, health providers.
Yes, absolutely.
I work in a lot of social services and health and human services areas as well. A lot of deep green energy. They care about people, and we're not just one color energy. We're all four. We can. That's another podcast. But when you're in that place, that the green energy within each of us is where care, trust, values, you know, the need for consensus comes from.
Mm-hmm.
If that has violated in any way, we joke a little bit, hell hath no fury than green energy scorn, right? You know, we love each other, we care about each other, but as soon as there's a violation in that, we forgive, but we don't forget. There's where the passive aggressive type of stuff starts to happen, and you get the meeting after the meeting, and the undermining type stuff starts to happen. And so it's actually pretty common within certain cultures, within certain organizations to see that. And what's wonderful is as we start to work through, you know, the eight factors of engagement or through purposeful culture of trust, literally within, you know, 6 to 9 months, that part has been kind of exposed in a really good, healthy way, a vulnerable way. But then within a year to a year and a half, all of a sudden they're like, whoa, shift has happened. Things are different here because that part has been eradicated. For some reason, we also have a tendency of holding on to those things, those grudges, and we don't want to let go. There's a forgiveness piece that has to come into play too.
Absolutely.
It's a fairly common cultural thing. I'm sure there's folks out there that that have experienced it or are in something like that right now, and it can be resolved, it can be worked through, but it takes trust in working through that.
And it takes work.
Yes.
I mean, you have to be dedicated to it. That's the biggest thing. Is it can't be we have a meeting, right, or we have an event or something, and we think that that's going to fix some of those deeper rooted issues.
Yeah, it doesn't happen on a 1 to 2 day offsite.
No, definitely not. So if people that are listening, you know, and we talk about the concept of hitting your sweet spot and that purpose and passion, what's a tip, what's a piece of advice that you would give, no matter what age they are, on kind of diving back into that? Like, where do they start?
Grab a piece of paper, grab a pen.
Quiet your mind.
Yeah. Do a little bit of mindfulness around self and ask yourself the question, what are the things that I have a lot of talent in, the things you know, that I love to do, and really look at and just do a fearless inventory of what, you know, what God's given you and what you've developed for yourself. What are the things that you're able to do? Some of the questions you ask me.
Mm-hmm.
Then look at, you know, reflect and say over the, you know, the last, you know, weeks or months or whatever, what are the opportunities that I've been faced with, right? What are these opportunities that I've seen over and over again, or be aware of it now in the days ahead. And then ultimately, again, look at that passion piece. You know, again, it goes back. If you take your talent, the things that you know you're good at, doesn't mean you love all of it. I mean, there's some things that I'm good at that I don't love doing. But you combine that with your passion, the things that you absolutely love to do. Those two things intersect, and then you bring in the opportunities that have been, that you're faced with.
Yep.
I call it the TOPS model, but those three things come together. So your talent, your passion, the opportunity. Figure out your score. How much of your time do you spend in that sweet spot, all right? When you bring those three things together, that's where you get the sweet spot. If you have talent and opportunity but no passion, we call that, you know, checking the box type stuff.
Yep.
You know, and some of us spend, you know, 20% of our time there, some of us spend 80% of our time there.
Yeah.
You know, what's the right amount of time? The areas that you have passion for and opportunity but you haven't developed a talent, what are you doing to stretch? What are you doing to grow that area? Because if you love something and there's opportunity there, figure out a way. You know, I love traveling to Latin countries, but I'm still haven't learned my Spanish the way that I need to, so I need to stretch that. And then, you know, there's talent and passion as well, but maybe there's not that opportunity. Maybe mm-hmm. there's something you love to do and you know you're good at it, but if you found that area, that's an interesting one that we talk about within organizations too, because the organization goes, well, what do we do about that? Well, there's sometimes you're able to stretch innovation and you're able to come down and meet where a person's talent and purpose is. But a lot of organizations I've seen now, they're really working on helping support employees to be able to take advantage of that space too. If it's, you know, having work-life balance, if it's having creating community-based volunteerism where there's groups of the employees that go off and do shared things together. There's all sorts of really wonderful stuff like that. But yeah, I would just write down a piece of paper, look at what your talents are, look at what your passion are, and then look at what the opportunities are presenting and how much of your time is spent in that sweet spot and what are you doing to create a larger spot through developing yourself, offloading things that you don't love to do, and looking for opportunities where you can have an impact.
And one thing for people to understand on that too is there's personally and professionally, you can scratch that, right? I mean, you can really feed your passion and your purpose. It doesn't just have to be at the office. And I think sometimes you want it to be, right? Because we've all been, you know, I think back to my days as a, you know, project manager, portfolio manager. I was good at it.
Yeah.
It was no passion, right? I was good at organizing people and making people get things done.
No.
But there was no passion behind it. Like this was like my, you know, purpose in life.
Right.
And so I think a lot of us get into those ruts of like, we can do the job and we get validation from that. But people are sitting in this place going, but this can't be it.
Right?
This isn't it. Mm-hmm. Like what I'm supposed to be doing with my life, what my legacy is, or, you know, how I can really have an impact.
It gets into the whole, legacy play then.
And how do you take that and transition it, right, into something? But I think we can look personally, too, in what we're doing outside of whether it's being a coach for a sports team. Yep. Or volunteering in your community, or sitting on a board, something like that.
You've hit it. I remember in the old days you had to separate, you know, work and play.
You did.
And the reality is, it's all you are one system. I mean, you're part of a. Mm-hmm. And people will ask that all the time, as far as, you know, do we need to separate these two things out? And I would argue, you keep them together. The reason why you did that job that you were so good at is because it did pay you well, which allowed you to support your families, for you to be able to do the other things that you're able to. So you have to you look at it in a holistic measure. Now, if the work saturated you so much that you weren't able to take advantage of being able to spend time with family and do these other things, then you'd say, okay, it's not worth it at that point.
Yep.
But the fact that, so you kind of have to blend it together. But the more that you can advocate for that now in the workplace, which I think you can.
You can.
It provides even more of that opportunity. And then you mentioned the legacy, because ultimately the legacy is what happens as a result down the road of what you're doing now.
Yeah.
And so what are the things that you're doing now that could have the impact to others as well?
Yep, I love that. So this has been such a fantastic conversation. First off, I needed this. I think it was just a good reminder for all of us. And thank you for being here and for being part of this. As we all think about kind of just the world we're in right now, and not to dwell on that, but there's just so much happening. And I know it's overwhelming for people to kind of deal with. And, you know, grounding yourself in this discussion that we just had and helping your team, helping your family, whatever that team looks like, and get grounded in a deeper purpose, I truly think is how we get through some of the things that are happening around us. And having that deep purpose allows us the faith to know that it'll all kind of work itself out, right? And that we're in that right space.
It's
so
the basis for resiliency and bouncing back.
Exactly.
It really is. It
really exactly. Is. And we need that, even if we feel like we've got it all together. People around us need that, right? They need us to help them build that resiliency and that ability to adjust and get through things like what we're dealing with. Okay, so people that have been super intrigued by our conversation here and all of the models and the things you've been talking about, there's a lot there. How can people get more information on how you could help their organization, right, in multiple different ways? What's the best way?
Absolutely. Well, obviously, website is a great source. We're going through our edits of that and transformation, but SikoraConsulting.com. You can also type in Leading From The Helm. .com, I believe. And then even if you were to just type in 8 factors of engagement into Google, it would probably pop up as one of the top search results.
Perfect. And if people have questions, that's the best way for them to get a hold of you and find Absolutely. Out more about the models that they can start to engage with.
Yeah, robert@secoreconsulting.com is the email, and happy to hear from folks. And we have some wonderful tools around self-awareness. We can run a pulse engagement study for them and their teams without any problem at all. We'd love to help any way we can.
Perfect. We will make sure we get that in the podcast notes, and so that you guys have that as a reference to be able to get a hold of Robert. Thank you so much. Each of us have those innate strengths, those innate superpowers that we can use for good in the world, but we have to be self-aware, as Dr. Robert started with, is we have to understand them, and then we've got to look for the opportunities to use them, because it's not just enough to have the gift and not use it, right? To help people around you. So I think that's a great reminder for all of you to take back today is what are those superpowers? What are those talents that you have? But also, are you looking for the opportunities to be able to use them? Because we should be doing both as leaders in our organizations and in our communities. So please make sure and leave us a rating and review. Let us know if this is the kind of topics that really resonate with you so that we can bring more of this conversation to you. And as always, continue looking for the next level of success, and make sure you're honing in on your superpowers on the way. Thanks, everybody. Thanks so much for listening. If you like this episode, please click that little subscribe button so you get the latest episodes when we release them. And we would so appreciate a rating and a review. We'd love to hear from you on how these podcast topics are having an impact for you. And if you haven't subscribed to our newsletter, make sure and go to our website, KeystoneGroupINTL.com, to sign up.